Pro tips from Proverbs. That's what we've been in for the last couple weeks. Did anyone really appreciate Pastor Allen sharing last week from Pro Tips from Proverbs? We've been looking at the series or the book of the Bible called Proverbs, and Proverbs is written by a guy named Solomon, and Solomon was the wisest man to have ever lived. He asked God, "Could I just be wise? If I could have anything as a king, it's not riches, it's not fame, it's not that. I just want wisdom. Could you help me to lead well? Could you help me to understand your ways of leading?" And so God says, "Because you asked for that, I'm going to give that to you, and you're going to have riches and fame and all of that." And so he became a wise king who was well listened to, and then he wrote some books that help us. And so Proverbs is one of those. Proverbs teaches us about how to live. It teaches us about life choices. It teaches us about how to decide not to go that way, but to go this way instead. And it gives us some context for understanding life. And so today, Father's Day shows up, and I really believe that out of Proverbs, there's this message that is stirring for fathers, for dads, for everyone in the room, but for especially for dads. Sometimes dads can say things, speak things. Their words can be not what they wished they portrayed. They can make mistakes with their mouths and make mistakes with the words that they say in angry moments or whatever it might be, and you see all throughout Proverbs this one theme that keeps coming up. By the way, if you're not reading Proverbs, I'd encourage you to give it a go. Jump in, and while we're going through this, just read it. I'm trying to read it once a week so that I can just sort of really feel out the themes that are coming up. But this week, it was all about just the words that are said, just the things that come out of our mouths, and not just what we say, but how we say things. My dad, As a tribute on Father's Day, one of the things that my dad did best, I think, as he was raising me, but even just me watching him and watching what his life was all about, one of the things he did best is he was good with his words. The way he communicated things in big venues like this, in front of lots of people, he was a teacher, so in front of a classroom or all of that was always kind of inspiring for me to watch. And so my dad recently, I saw that again recently, that his words have an effect. The way he speaks has an effect on people. In December, my grandma passed away, and I was set to be the officiant of the funeral. And I was kind of a little bit daunted by that task. It's kind of, okay, I can do this. I want to do this. I want to honor her and be able to do that. But I was a little bit worried that I was just going to, like, you know, curl up in a ball and cry for the funeral, and then I'm going to miss out on the whole thing. So, I said, I can do it. I think let's go for it. So I started the funeral, and I'm sharing, and I'm doing my thing, and all this stuff's happening, and it's all good. It's just been steady and good. But then my dad got up, and now he's going to deliver the eulogy on his mom's life, and my dad's got away with words, like I said. So he gets up, and he starts speaking about her life. Her life was quite impressive. She ran away from an abusive husband, which was my dad's dad. She fled to a different province. She had four young boys. She raised these four young boys on her own while getting a teacher degree. She became a teacher and raised her boys in a different province from her home. Really impressive story. But my dad gets up and he starts telling the story, and we all know the story already. You know, we had all heard it before. We all knew her. We all knew that. But he starts sharing it, and the way he was sharing it, the way he was speaking, I'm sitting behind him trying to hold, I just couldn't handle it. I start crying, and I'm kind of a mess behind him. He's sharing this thing. There's something about the way he delivered things, the way he spoke. And so he had a way with words. I remember this moment when I was a young guy, and one of the things that he said to me stuck with me forever. It was a multicultural assembly at my school, and I was asked to be the MC. I was grade 11, and I said, okay, I can MC this thing. That's going to be cool, and 800 students, and I'm running this assembly, and my dad's there, and he's a teacher in that school. He's cheering me on, and the sound ends up failing, and so now there's no microphone, and all this, and I'm like yelling in front of the school, like, you know, here's the next thing, and blah, blah, blah. And after, my dad pulls me aside, and he didn't say a whole lot to me. He didn't use a whole lot of encouraging words. I don't know if anyone else's dad was like this. I think it's very hard for any of us to like pour out our like lovey, gushy, all that stuff. It's not, doesn't come natural to a lot of us, but my dad definitely not. And he comes up to me and says, "Evan, if you ever get a chance to speak in front of people, I want you to know there's something in you, there's something about you that you need to be, if anytime you get a chance, you need to speak in front of people." And he would have had no thought that that would have meant I was going to be a pastor. Actually, probably he probably wouldn't have said it if he thought that was going to lead to that. But that's what he said to me. I remember it sticking with me so deeply. Because when someone doesn't necessarily say a whole lot in that regard, then when they do, it means something, doesn't it? It hits you a little bit harder. I remember a teacher at that school saying that very thing about my dad. He said, "When your dad speaks, I listen." And they were the same age about, you know, he was actually did well as a teacher. He was a great teacher. But he said, "When your dad speaks, unlike anyone else, I listen to him." I said, "Really? Well, what? Why is that?" He goes, "Well, because he doesn't do it very much. He sits in a meeting and he listens and he takes things in and he tries to understand and maybe he'll ask a question here or there, and at the end of it all, he'll sort of come out and say, 'Here's what I think.'" And he goes, "Because he does that, every time he speaks, he says something that means something to me, and I value what he has to say." I loved hearing that about my dad, and there's something very true about that in Scripture. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes speaks into some of this. Solomon, likely the author of both. And I just want to start to share about what the Bible speaks about with some of this stuff, with the speech that we have, with the words that we say. Ecclesiastes 6:11 says this: "The more words, the less meaning." And how does that profit anyone? The more words, the less meaning. In other words, you keep spilling more and more and more out. You want to hear your voice all the time. You want to speak all the time. People will listen less to you over time. Because what you said, they have to decide what's the most important thing that you've said. I don't know, it could have been brrr. They've been speaking for the last week straight. I don't know what part to take out and hold as dear to me, because it's just been a whole big spread of word vomit all over. So I don't know what to do with that. The more words, the less meaning. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, "Many words mark the speech of a fool." By the way, it's fun when you get to read through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and say the word fool so many times. I just like that. I don't know about you. I like that. You don't really get that in the New Testament. But here it keeps saying, "Well, here's what a wise person is, and here's the fool," every time. I like it. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird in that. I don't know. Proverbs 17:28 says same thing. "Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent." Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. Even fools, you know, maybe you think today you are a fool. Maybe you're like, I'm not that smart. I don't say really smart things. When I speak, it's usually wrong. And I don't. But if you just be quiet, they might actually think you're wise. You know, if you just stop talking, like, "Wow, what a smart person. Why do you say that?" Because, well, I guess I just have to guess that, because I don't hear bad, I don't hear good. They're probably smart. We'll just say that. Even a fool can be thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. There's probably not that many people in your life that you know act this way. Probably at most meetings that you go to, maybe you're on a staff with many people, or maybe it's the dinner table for you. There's lots of people that sit around the dinner table, or a family gathering. Maybe it's a club that you're a part of, or it's you, and you think of a lot of people trying to say a lot of things, and the person that wants to say the most things, you know how you feel about that person. Most people don't love being around the one who always has the answer, who always wants to say stuff, you know? You're talking about this, and they say, "Well, actually, this is the right way." And you're talking about this other thing, and they say, "Well, I have something to say about that as well." And you're talking about this thing that has nothing to do with them. They say, "Well, I have the..." No one loves being around a know-it-all. No one loves the person that's constantly talking. Their words start to have less value. And Proverbs speaks into this. So your words, if you want people to hear you, if you want people to care about what you're going to say, if you want people to think of you as a wise person, as someone with good advice, give less advice. Don't give advice everywhere you go. Don't tell everyone the right way. There it all is, and I just got to share it. But there are some people who just love to hear their voice. Like a conversation goes on, and if they haven't heard their voice for a while, they get a little bit antsy or a bit nervous and think, we must be going astray because I haven't said anything. And so I need to bring this back in and pull it back, and I just better let my voice be heard. There are many people who do that. But Proverbs 18:2 sort of describes the problem with this. It says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. I think this is true sort of all over the world. But one of the spaces that this is true is with fathers and kids. You know? Dad knows best. No. Dad already said, dad knows. And he says, fools have no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. I don't need to hear what you think. I don't need to hear what happened here. I don't need to know what was going on. I don't need to know the context. You just need to hear what I think. That's all that matters here. You need to hear what I think on this issue. The rest doesn't matter. You just need to know what I say about this. I think not just dads. This can happen quite a lot in the world right now too, where people just decide how they feel about someone or how they feel about something without learning about it, without understanding it, without getting context. They just say, all that matters here is they need to know my opinion. Here it is. I'm going to share it because everyone just needs to know what my opinion is because we all think our opinion is right. So it's just an opinion, but if you don't live by it, you're dead. No. It's just an opinion, but if you don't follow my opinion, you're a fool. The Bible says so. But it's just my opinion, you know? We just want to throw out our opinion and give it to everyone. All that matters, the understanding where you're coming from doesn't matter. You just need to know where I stand on this. You just need to know what I think about this. You just need to know what is right. And so why listen to anyone else or yourself? Just listen to me. That's what's right. And fools, it says, find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. We just want to share it. And maybe we find ourselves in a conflict with someone and all that we think, we don't sit, it's not, when people are conflicting, it usually gets elevated when each other cuts each other off and, oh, no, this is what happened. No, this is what happened. Oh, this is what, and it just goes up like that, right? Usually it's not, you need to hear what I have to say. And back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and never gets anywhere. And the fight just escalates and it just carries on. See, just because you say what's right doesn't mean you win a fight. Oh. Just because you said it doesn't mean you win. And I think as Christians, this is really important to me. As Christians, is the point of our existence on this planet to win fights? It's to reach people for Jesus. It's to help people get into relationship with Jesus. It's to help people discover who our Savior is. You say, yeah, but I know what's right, and I know what the Bible says, and I know what Jesus says, and I know what all these things say, so I just need to tell people what those things are. And if I just tell them, then whatever, I'm going to share it, and I'm going to give it to them, and I'm going to pass it on to them. They can do with it what they want, but then I've done everything I'm supposed to do. And Proverbs says the person who does that, even if your opinion is right, if you have no interest in understanding where someone else is at when you're sharing your opinion, then the writer of Proverbs says you're a fool. I don't say it, but Proverbs says it. Proverbs says if you have no interest, no pleasure in understanding the person you're dealing with, and instead all you want to do is throw your opinion at them, Proverbs says that's foolish. That's foolish. Because the writer of Proverbs, as well as us, we understand there's something more important than just telling someone the truth, just showing someone what's right. If you've ever raised kids, you've learned that. you've learned that just telling them the right thing isn't necessarily going to actually build your relationship with them. It isn't actually going to create a bond between you. This is what's right. I don't believe that, Dad. Well, you're wrong, and you better come under my command. And this, like, that doesn't build something. And maybe that's the dad you've seen. Maybe that's what you were raised under. Maybe that's what showed up in your life. Maybe that's what you think of when you consider Father's Day. But that's not what the writer of Proverbs is saying. So he says, if you're not careful, there's a lot of bad things that can happen. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. It says, your words have the potential to pierce like swords. And if you're walking around and you think that all you need to do is pierce like swords, what he calls you is reckless. Instead, he says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 14:3 says, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride. What's pride? Pride is me saying, my opinion matters too much for me to hear yours. My opinion matters too much for me to hear yours. So that's pride, and when we have that in our heart, we will lash out with our mouth. But the lips of the wise protect them. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. There's actually two spots that I saw in Proverbs. It says, gushes folly. You picture that? Like, it's just all over you. When you come around me, you're going to get gushed on by my folly because I have too much arrogance for me to hear what you think. I'm instead going to gush on you. You know what? A gush doesn't receive anything, does it? When something's gushing out of you, it's not like, but don't worry, I can still take in some stuff over here. It's like, this is just coming at you. Do with it what you want, but I'm going to spew whatever I think all over you because my opinion getting out and getting all over you is way more important than me understanding where you're coming from. Proverbs says, no. That doesn't hit it. Actually, when you look through the whole Bible, it really helps because that's not what Jesus does either. But in Proverbs 18:13 says this, like it. To answer before listening, here's what he says that is folly and shame. Everyone answers before listening, don't we? At some point we've done that. I'm not going to listen anymore. That is ridiculous. Here is what is right. No, I'm going to cut you off right there. What you're saying is not true. It's not right. It doesn't count. I can't believe it. Sorry. I'm just going to cut you off. You're not going to get to speak anymore. Instead, I'm going to tell you what this is. He says, that's folly and shame, cutting people off before listening. See, the problem isn't that we tell people stuff. It's not that we say things. It's not that we can't share what's true. It's not that we can't do that. The problem isn't what we share. The problem is that we don't listen. This is what the writer of Proverbs is saying. He's got to say, yeah, sure, say whatever you're going to say, but listen first. People will often find more healing from being heard than they will from your word. Isn't that true? The people that need to heal the most in our lives don't need your words. In fact, your words aren't that powerful. The Bible has the living word, and maybe they've read the Bible, and it hasn't even affected them. So it's not that they need more words, and I'll just tell them what it says, and tell them what it says, and tell them what I know, and tell them what's right, and tell them what's true, and tell them all that. That's really going to get them this time. If those words haven't worked so far, they're probably not going to work this time either. Sometimes their greatest healing isn't going to come from your word. It's going to come from being heard. They just need to hear. They just need to know that they can talk to you. That they can come to you, that they can deal with their stuff. I think Facebook has really ruined this for us, and Instagram and all this stuff. We have these social media warriors. They're just going out and trying to make sure that anytime there's a political conversation or there's a conversation about some of our current cultural challenges that we're facing or some of the identity stuff or sexual stuff that's going on right now. We've got people who say, I just got to get in every one of those conversations and make sure I tell everyone what's right and what's true and what the Bible says. But they're not looking to know. Many of them actually already know what the Bible says. What they're looking for is, are the Christians just going to tell me more of that? Are they going to understand me and hear what I'm about before they speak, before they come at me with that? Many of us, all of us know the power of a mouth. Many of us have been hurt by someone's words, been gossiped about or lied to, or someone's just called you a name. Whatever it might be. Maybe someone's told your secret to someone else. Probably all of us have a story of a mouth hurting us, someone's mouth hurting us. None of us have a story of an ear hurting us. We've been offended by mouths. We've rarely, if ever, been offended by ears. If so, I'd love to hear the story. Be exciting. No one ever says, I can't believe what they heard, what they listened to. I can't believe they listened to me. I can't believe they would ever listen. No one ever says that. But how many times do we say, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they spoke that. I thought they said they were this. I thought they said they were a Christian. I thought they were going to do this. Those words cut. We know the power and the potential offense that a mouth can have, and yet I haven't heard any stories of the offense that ears and listening can have. So which one of those is probably going to be better at building, bridging a gap towards Jesus? Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Your words have the power of life and they have the power of death. And you get to choose every time. They can be as sweet as a honeycomb to people, or they can tear people down every time. Imagine how much power you have. How many of us are living under the reality of what someone said to us years ago, generations ago even, of what someone who's not even around anymore said to us? How many of us have an identity crisis that's built on what someone said to us years ago? How much power do your words have? How much power do you have with your mouth? If we know how many people in this room are still living in pain and hurt and crisis because of what someone has said, our words have so much power, but not just for death, but for life. That we can speak life to people. You see Jesus doing it all over throughout the scripture. Worship team, you can come on up. My son, we're learning this all the time with our kids. And my son recently, he said this one thing. He ran to his room and we weren't really sure what was going on. He said this thing that kind of broke Kendall and I both. He said, I'm going to be a bad boy forever. And he's disappointed. He felt like he was crushed, right? And both Kendall and I were like, oh. What words must we have said, you know? What things must we have said for him to think that could possibly be the thing? So I went and I picked him up. I said, Hardy, you're a bad boy most of the time, not always. I didn't say that. Might have been true, but didn't say it. As a dad, I show up and I don't say everything that's true. No, here's the times you were bad, but there were these other times that you weren't. I don't say that. I say, Hardy, do you know how I've seen you grow? Do you know that I love watching you with Nola, that you take care of her and you look after her? Do you know I love when you try to write cards to mom and dad about, you know, I start to tell him all the great things. I start to tell him all the stuff that's amazing about him. Why do I do that? Because I believe in that moment, there's more power in my life-giving words than my death-giving words. I want to speak that kind of thing. I understand where he's from. Now, if I, a pretty average father, maybe I'm a good father, but one way or another, I'm an earthly father. If I get that, wouldn't our Father in heaven get that? I think one of the reasons that many people are stuck in a place, and sometimes dads are stuck in a place, this cycle says, I need to regain power. I need my voice to be heard. I need everyone to know exactly where I stand. I need to not listen to anyone else. I need to not give you a voice. I need to not let that. I just need to tell you how you're going to live. I think sometimes we're in that place because that's how we perceive God to be with us. We've assumed God is just going to tell us all the bad things, and he's already telling me I'm not good enough. He already shows me all the stuff that I can't do. He's already given all that to me. I don't think that's God. I don't recognize that God in the Bible. I picture God more like what I am. My daughter Nola, we have a story as well. Nola's just under 2. In July, she'll turn 2, and she's sort of getting to that feisty stage. And sometimes I'm trying to hold my daughter Nola, and she just doesn't want to be with me. And if you've ever had kids, you know this move too. I'm holding her like this, and she goes, that move just gets me. Like, what in the world are you doing? What if I just let you? Okay, go. See what happens. You know? Or this move. Just the drop, the limp noodle all of a sudden I'm holding. She's just trying to get away, push and push. And I can look at her in those moments and I can say, Nola, you are such a bad child. Nola, daddy's just trying to hold you and you're being disobedient. Hey, disobedient child. She is, right? She's being disobedient to dad. I know what's right and you're being disobedient to me. I need to tell you that. You need to know that in this moment. You're being an animal. You're being wild. And right now, daddy's really frustrated. I don't know why we always think we need to tell our kids we're frustrated. They know. They know we're there. You know, we got there already. Actually, dad, aren't you now past that stage? You seem to be going past. So I'll be holding Nola though. And I've learned this new thing. I'll say, Nola, I need to tell you a secret. She puts her ear into my lips. I say, same thing every time. She knows what's coming. It's not like a surprise, and it's not a secret either. I say, I love you. And she'll pull her ear away from me and look at me. She'll usually go, say it again, Daddy. Say it again, Daddy. I need to hear that again, Dad. I need to be reminded of that again, Dad. I could tell Nola she's a bad girl in that moment. I'm not going to change her behavior. I could tell her I'm frustrated with her. It's not going to change how she acts. I could compare her to her older sister who probably never did that in her entire life. It's not going to change how she behaves in that moment. It's going to tear her down and hurt her. And yet, for some reason, we think our Father in heaven is probably doing that to us. Where we fight against him and push back and he goes, you're so bad. I can't believe you do that. Why did I make you? Why could we ever think God would say that about us? Why would we think ever that if a father here on earth wouldn't say that to my daughter? In fact, if I did, I would instantly see what it did to her face and her demeanor, and I would regret, and I'd pour out my love, and I'd do all of that for her. Why would our Father in heaven say, here's how you parent kids. You get them under your authority. You tell them your opinion all the time. You tell them what's right and where all of them are wrong, and you do all of that stuff. I don't see that in the Bible. I can't recognize that in the Bible. I can't recognize that in a God who created a garden and said, explore, enjoy, cultivate, build, develop, have fun, do all of that. And then when we walked away, he built an entire rescue plan throughout the entire Bible, which culminated in his son dying for us. I don't recognize the God who says, you better get better or else. I can't see it. Yet, we get stuck communicating that way with people. We forget who we are in God's eyes. And so we think that the purpose of our life here is to spread our opinion and spread our thoughts, to spread what's true and to speak it out and tell everyone so that they hear it and tell everyone so because we know what is right and we know what is true. Sometimes people don't need more of your true words. They don't need more of your right words. They don't need more of your correct opinions. They don't need more of your words at all. Sometimes people need you to understand them, to recognize where they're coming from, and to listen to God for how he might speak to them, because you may be the soothing words that come out to them that says, hey, 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 I have a secret. It's from God. Here's the secret, and it's not a secret, but you're still going to like it, and I'll say it again and again and again, and you're still going to lean in. Here's the secret that God has for you that is going to change your life and will change your behavior better than any instruction that I could give you. It'll change the way you live better than any instruction that I would tell you or opinion that I would give you. Here's the secret. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. That never comes on the other side of your behavior. It comes to inspire and compel your behavior if you just lean in and let him speak. And then all of a sudden, you will speak like him. You'll start to sound like him to the world. You'll start to share like he shares with you the love that Jesus gives to us. I want you to receive that today. Fathers, I want you to know that God loves you and that you can love your kids like he loves you, that you can care for them, that you can start to rise them up while you speak life instead of speaking death. I want every person here to know that you don't need to always just say, this is what's right, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it. But sometimes, instead of opening your mouth, you need to open your ear and listen to what's going on in people's heart. Get to know their hurt. Get to know their pain. Get to know their brokenness. Get to know what's owning them, what they can't break free from. And instead of saying, you're stuck and you can't break free, start to say, there's one who's calling to you and wants to set you free and give you life, and I want to start to share about that life to you. Proverbs said, if we won't understand them, instead we're just going to spout off our opinions, we're fools. Let's be wise. Let's be wise and let's change this world through it. Why don't we all stand up? I just want these guys to sing over us this last song, and would we just declare together, this is who God says we are. We are a child of God. He's got a space for us. He's got a place in his mansion for us. He's got a mansion for us. He loves us. He cares for us. And that love is what's going to shape the world more than any kind of words that we can speak. No, people knowing the love that God has for them is going to change this world. Let's believe it. Let's declare it today. In Jesus' name.